video games, movies, comics.
Podcast from Oscar Mike Media.
Hello everyone and welcome to episode 15 of the Oscar Mike Media Podcast. I am always your host Chris Lipscomb and I am slightly hyper because I've only eaten cream eggs today. I am joined as per normal by head dude for the whole of Oscar Mike Media and general dude, editor-in-chief over at 6axis.com, Peter Chapman. Say hello, Peter.
No.
Fair enough, because you are at death's door, so we'll give you that this week. We're also joined by general dude over at screendemon.com, sorry I forgot for a second because my brain is not working. Lewis Gaston, say hello, Lewis.
Salute.
Salute. What was that this week? Salute.
That's Latin, apparently.
Oh, no. Do you not mean salut?
No. It says, it's spelled S-A-L-V-E-T-E, okay. But it says pronounced salute.
Fair enough.
Don't challenge me on my bilingual hellos.
Okay, fine. Right, getting things off, because we haven't got very much time this week, getting things off to a rapid start. Peter, you have been playing Portal 2 because Mrs. C loves you and bought it for you because she felt sorry for you.
She did. My wife's amazing. She got up, and instead of going to work this morning, she got up and she went to Tesco and bought me Portal 2.
Aww.
And then she brought it back to me, and that's what I've been doing for portions of most of the day.
Oh my God, what a bitch.
Yeah, Portal 2 is amazing. It's the funniest game I think I've ever played.
That's cool. So essentially you've been playing Portal 2 in between puking.
If only it was puking, Chris.
if only that was all.
If only it was puking. I feel like I've lost about 3 stone and it's all rinsed through my arsehole.
Nice. Lovely.
Yeah, that's I've lovely. Not been well for a couple of days.
So is Portal 2 better than having your insides destroy themselves?
Yes. Immeasurably.
That's good.
It's much better playing with imaginary portals than pushing everything you've ever eaten out of your real portal.
Oh, that's a lovely image.
I apologise to any listeners who are of a sensitive disposition.
I think we should apologise to them long ago. I can't help but imagine that your arsehole is now like an orange glow, as it is in Portal, and your mouth is blue, and it just kind of connects.
Probably. I wouldn't know, because I would need some strategically placed mirrors, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Anyway, I have heard that Portal 2 is kind of amazing. So
it is. Yes. It's really, really funny. I love the first Portal, and the gameplay and the puzzles and all that's brilliant, but anybody that's getting into Portal 2 knows what they're getting into. But I didn't expect it to be quite so funny. The first one was kind of funny, but this one is, like, literally, I think every level that I've gone through, there's been a moment where it's made me, maybe not laugh out loud, but it's made me have a little smile to myself. And at least half a dozen times, I've actually laughed out loud.
That's brilliant. I have heard there are people who want to play Portal 2, and they haven't played Portal. And I'm not sure how this happens.
Yeah, it would definitely help to have played the first one. I didn't think that. I was... was it Lewis? Was it you earlier in the week that I advised you to go to Wikipedia?
Yes.
Lewis, have you not played Portal?
No. Maybe no.
It's literally like 3 hours long.
Yeah, but it's on PC. It was on PC to start with, and my PC's shit. It struggles to run Word. I'm not joking you.
But it's also on PS3. Have a PS3.
To be on PS3, I have to buy Half-Life, and I'm not doing it.
You don't have to play Half. I bought the orange box, and I only played Portal, and then traded it back.
That is fucking unbelievable.
I traded it back for Bill Bailey.
You bought the orange box and didn't play Half-Life.
No, I bought the orange box, played Portal, and traded it back for Bill Bailey tickets.
I might... what Bill Bailey show?
I can't remember. This was a while ago. It was
it doesn't fucking matter. Play Half-Life.
Whatever year Portal came out, that Bill Bailey show.
Tinselworm.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I went and bought it in CEX and then gave it back to CEX like 2 days later and took the money and bought Bill Bailey tickets with it.
I might buy the orange box because it'll be cheap as chips now and I do like listening to everyone talk about Portal, the script and things like that sounds like my kind of game, and I really like puzzles and stuff. So,
no, you'd adore it. I think it is really cool.
I really, especially the humor in Portal 2, I think, Lewis, you would love.
Yeah,
it's really really funny.
I'll probably get Orange Box first and wait for Portal 2 to come down in price and then get that a bit later on.
I'm not sure I've actually heard anyone who said they dislike Portal. I don't know if it's... Because even like games that are brilliant, like Grand Theft Auto and things, there are, they do have their critics. I'm not sure Portal has any critics at all.
No, I don't think I've ever seen anybody be particularly outspoken about not liking it.
No, I'm probably because you would be murdered by the internet.
Yeah. I'm going to buy it, play it, and then just slag it.
Oh, God.
Even if I don't think that's true, I'm just going to slate it rotten just to piss people off. That's how I roll.
Yeah. Well, you would. You would because you're slightly evil.
What?
But so would you say better than the first then? Significantly better?
Yeah, so far. I'm only up to, I think I got to chapter 4. Okay. But yeah, it's more complex, more complicated. There seems to be more storyline going on. There's little bits that haven't been uncovered yet.
Yeah,
but it's sort of hinted at.
That's what I find quite interesting, because you just said the first one's 3 hours, didn't you? And I'm hearing people saying that the second one's like 10 hours. Is that correct?
Yeah, about 10 hours.
So they've managed to stretch what seems like just a fun sort of Easter egg on the Orange Box into a full fledged sequel sort of thing.
Yeah, it's very impressive how they've done it, and the fact that they haven't sort of had to compromise the writing by the sound of it, which was obviously going to be a worry, that they just go, oh, screw it, we'll get it out and it'd be done with it, and yeah, we'll flesh it out a bit in the way that you flesh out most games, where you're like, this level is really long or something like that, or
or you've done that once, now go back and do it again.
Yeah, do it again in a slightly different way. But they've seemed to have just they took Portal and made it longer.
Yeah, and there's new mechanics in it as well with the bounce pads. I can't remember what the game calls them. The game has funny names for all of these things.
Yeah.
But there are bounce pads and there are gels that I hadn't found yet.
Yeah, the gels sound really interesting.
But they've added new mechanics and made the game longer, and there's new, you have, is it Wheatley he's called? The new little robot guy that follows you through?
Yeah, voiced by Stephen Merchant.
Yes. He's very funny. He's very good, actually, Stephen Merchant.
Yeah, Stephen Merchant's good. He's good in most things, though. He's very funny. Very funny chap.
But you know the way sometimes you get, like, there'd be an actor that you think, or somebody that you think's funny, and then they do a voiceover for something, and they can't quite carry it?
Yeah.
Stephen Merchant sells this completely.
Yeah, I don't think... who is it who's in Assassin's Creed, and it's a comedian as well?
Jim Davidson.
No, it's the history dude in Assassin's Creed 2 and Brotherhood.
I've never played Assassin's Creed. Oh,
Danny someone or something, isn't it?
Yeah, I know who you mean.
He wrote the book Yes Man and things like that.
Danny Baker.
Possibly. Did he write the book?
No, he did the Des adverts.
Oh, not him then. I'll go have to look it up now because it's going to irritate me.
What, and he's a comedian as well?
Yeah, very young comedian, but he doesn't manage to carry the humour over quite as well.
No, well, it's difficult when you're sitting in a booth with a microphone. It's difficult to convey the emotion, and to, especially when there's like action things, when things are obviously the character's something's supposed to be happening to them. But there's bits in Portal 2 where it feels like the character that he plays is sort of falling over or getting dragged away to one side or something, and he sort of sells the lines as he's doing that, which is quite clever.
Well, I think that's sort of is quite often why commentary in like sports games is bad. You get what I mean? Because it's hard to convey the same emotion as when you're commentating on a real game.
Yeah, and because they record so many lines and then they just sort of bolt them together, don't they?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I can't find.
You're like, oh look, Top Rez is running up the left wing.
Yeah,
he's passed to Ferdinand.
Yep. Exactly. Yep.
Yeah, it all sounds a little bit Stephen Hawking. Only not
That'd
as clever.
Be awesome.
Danny Wallace.
That's it. Yes, Danny Wallace. Yeah. Yeah, he just doesn't manage to quite put it off in... I still think he's quite good, actually. And to be fair, it was an odd choice to get a comedian to play that character, because he's not... He's kind of like the most... He's deadpan funny in places, but he's the most serious character in that game, really.
Yeah, that is quite an odd choice. I hadn't thought of that before, but it is quite an odd choice. But in Portal 2, GLaDOS is back as well. Everybody will know that from the trailers.
Yeah,
and she's
back.
Just brilliant.
And mental, presumably.
Well, yeah, she was always mental.
Yeah.
Yeah, but whoever, I don't know who does the voice work for GLaDOS, but it's really good.
It's, I did know. But it's not done doing any filters. She does it naturally, which is what's really incredible.
She really talks like that.
I heard an interview with her.
I can just imagine her. Have a pint of milk, please?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, apparently they barely put any filters on her at all. It's almost all her, which is really weird. And really odd to hear her just drop into that in conversation.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, talking of computers that are evil, the PSN is fucked.
Yeah.
Rather utterly. So 2 days to come back up is what they're currently quoting.
Isn't that fucking ridiculous, though?
2 days?
The PSN is broken, and they've spent all day avoiding the question, and then eventually they say, yeah, it's down, and we're trying to fix it. We'll be back in a day or two. Fucking time? That's not a time frame. Tell us exactly when it will be back up.
And also, Lee Cash said if the platform he managed was down for 2 days, he would be torn apart by, I think he said, rabid wolverines. And that's true. We had an issue at work where our server was going down. It was going down every day, but it was for like 2 minutes. And I had people shouting at me very loudly when that was happening. I can't conceive of what it would be like if it was going down for... If our stuff went down for 2 days, we would be out of business.
Does anyone know what's actually causing this one?
Nope.
People are obviously saying, oh, it's anonymous again and what have you, but it could just be the fact that Sony's shit.
The PSN's down most weeks for some period of time.
Yeah. I mean, Anonymous have said it's not them on record. One of my theories, although I haven't quite managed to tie the timescales together, is that Amazon Web Services has also had an outage today, which has taken out large chunks of social media.
Aren't they the people that host the podcast?
They are, but luckily we're not on... It's only like one node that's affected in North Virginia, but because it was... But I think that was where they first rolled the service out.
Yeah,
so that's that. So that's why it's that's why lots of stuff's gone down, because it's like all the early adopters are on that node.
I think it took down big portions of Whiskey Media that run Giant Bomb as well.
You say that, but I went and checked, and Whiskey Media was fine when I went and looked.
I saw some of the guys tweeting about videos not working. And...
Oh, okay. Well, I checked Giant Bomb and I watched a video and it played.
Cool.
But it might be the premium member. It might be the premium membership stuff where they've re-encoded it all for HTML5. That's gone. Because they were talking about that on a recent podcast about that process and about their stuff being hosted on S3. But S3 isn't directly affected. It's probably just it's not a huge effect. It's what's called EC2, which is their computing platform, which, if any part of PSN runs on Amazon Web Services, it will be that part. So I'm not sure, but it just seemed to be quite a coincidence to me otherwise.
Well, we'll probably find out maybe in a day or two when Sony can get the thing working again. Yeah.
Yeah.
Chris knows too much.
There was something else that happened today that was possibly tied into it, but I can't remember what it was. I did have an alternate theory, but I can't remember what it was now.
I didn't download that amount of porn from Sony, so it can't have been me.
No. There were some people speculating that it's affected by Japan's current status.
Which is maybe a possibility, but unlikely, I think, at this stage.
I think unlikely, and unless it's some kind of the repair works,
have knocked
them offline or something.
Yeah.
But if they only have one data center in Japan for the whole world. They probably deserve to go down at some point.
Yeah, well, it's not even that. I mean, things break. You can't account for that. Servers, yeah. There's nothing that's going to be up for 100% of the time.
But 2 to 3 days is ridiculous.
Well, yeah, it's the fact that it went down and they don't seem to know why it's gone down or how the hell they're going to fix it or when they might have it fixed.
No, that was that seems to be the stance that Amazon have taken as well. Is there's almost no updates. And with Amazon, it's significantly worse.
Yeah.
Yeah, which was a bit mental, really, with Amazon not saying anything, particularly considering their clients are like corporations.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of have to give those people answers. Because while it sucks, as consumers, we largely get fucked over as like normal consumers.
Yeah.
But when you're in the business-to-business kind of space, you need to be talking to your clients. Because otherwise, they will sue the fuck out of you.
I wonder what it is and how long it's going to be then.
It's weird, whatever it is.
Bearing in mind that yesterday was supposed to be the day when Skynet switched itself back on.
I know, that's ominous, isn't it? Ominous.
Oh dear. I'm going to go and dig a hole and live in Mexico.
The Terminator scriptwriters, they tried to warn us. No one took them seriously.
No. I think we should check the local mental hospitals for Sarah Connor.
Yeah, it's a shame, but they did try and tell us. Anyway, on less doom and gloomy, or possibly, I don't know if you enjoyed this, Lewis, you saw Red. Was it good or shit?
I quite enjoyed it. It's a sort of no-brainer, really, but it's quite fun. Did what it says on the tin, really.
It's full of old people or something.
Yes, Bruce, obviously retired people, so it's Bruce Willis, Morgan Freeman, John Malkovich, Helen Mirren, and Brian Cox.
Surely if they're in a film, they're not actually retired then?
They're retired CIA agents.
Oh, okay, I thought you meant they were retired actors.
No, they're retired CIA agents that have been branded RED, which stands for Retired and Extremely Dangerous. So they, although they're retired, they're still marked up as being people of note, and then they start sort of, they find themselves on a list of people that the CIA need to kill. So Bruce Willis sort of brings them all together to try and kill the people that have written the list. Bruce Willis is Bruce Willis. John Malkovich is really good in it. He plays this like paranoid, eccentric, retired CIA agent that turns out not to be paranoid.
That's fantastic. So
it's brilliant. Everyone thinks he's paranoid, but in actual fact, everything that he thinks is turning out to be true. So he's quite quirky and quite funny in it. Helen Mirren's all right in it. Nothing special from her, really. And again, Morgan Freeman is Morgan Freeman. So there's nothing there to sort of stretch their abilities. It's just a fun old sort of comedy action thing.
Presumably Helen Mirren isn't playing her like typical character in this movie, because that would be weird.
No, she's also a retired CIA agent who's like good with cleaning up bullet wounds, and she's handy with a sniper rifle, and she's a completely different character to what she normally does, but at the end of the day it's not like a massive stretch. She's still the posh sort of type English, obviously posh English type, so it's just the fact that she can now work a gun.
Fair enough.
So, think the Queen, but with a sniper rifle.
That sounds awesome.
You're pretty much there.
Oh, they should just give the Queen a sniper rifle.
It's her birthday, maybe she
let her go out on that balcony on Buckingham Palace.
It'll make the royal wedding next week more interesting.
Yeah, picking off the Middletons.
Oh, the royal wedding.
No, I found a way to make the royal wedding good. I'm gonna have an experiment. It's gonna be a drinking game, but everyone has a different word, and I'm gonna chart how drunk everyone gets. Of course, I will also be drunk, so the charting might fall down quite quickly. But
yeah,
that's my plan.
That would necessitate watching the royal wedding.
Yeah.
I think alcohol might make it bearable.
I can just see the chart line on the wall now. It starts off nice and neat, and then by the end of it, you've probably just drawn like a cock and bull.
Yeah, that's exactly what. Well, particularly as we're considering, like, every time they say the word royal, you have to take a shot.
Jesus Christ.
You'd be in a coma.
Or every time they say the word wedding, or we were talking William. About possibly blessed or occasion. See, and maybe happy. Yeah.
Wedding.
Yeah, wedding. I can't imagine Brian Blessed's going to get an invite.
Gordon's alive!
No, I don't know. I think the only thing that would make the royal wedding bearable is if when they get to the end of it, they rip their human faces off and show their lizard faces.
How amazing would that be, though?
Yeah, royalist in our midst, I see.
Now, I actually am a big supporter of the royal family.
Yeah, so am I.
Pay them a fortune in fucking taxes every year.
You pay him 16p in taxes every year.
Yeah, I like the royals, it should be known. I don't like the notion of monarchy, but I like our royal family. I think the Queen's a lovely woman.
Yeah, the Queen's nice.
Very nice to those little dogs.
Charles is a bit of a dick. William seems all right.
Charles is a bit of a wingnut just with all that homeopathy stuff.
Yeah. William seems a good bloke, though.
Yeah, and Prince Philip. Everybody loves Prince Philip. Yeah. The big, yeah, lanky racist.
No one else could get away with being that racist.
Yeah.
But to be fair to Charles, he does a lot of charity work.
He does, yeah, they all do, actually. Which
he
does,
and he sent me a letter once.
Oh, that was nice of him. What did he say?
He sent me, I did the Prince's Trust when I was younger.
Oh, okay.
And I kind of fell out with my team leader, because my team leader was a super bitch. So then I had this big argument with her, and then I wrote a letter of complaint. And he replied personally.
Well, that was nice of him.
I was like, no, I wasn't expecting that.
You were expecting maybe like his under secretary to reply or something like that.
Yeah. So then I just kind of dropped a complaint. I was like, no, that's all right, Charles.
A letter from you.
Just don't eat me with your big green lizardy tongue.
You were like, it's the kind of thing we expect, like a return from the secretary's child or something. Yeah. Or the dude who's there on work experience. Not...
I was just kind of expecting them to ignore it, really.
Well, yeah, okay, like, at the very best, you expect a reply from someone who had maybe met Charles once in a hallway in passing. Yep.
Oh, and he gave my auntie an MBE.
Oh, that was nice of him.
Yeah.
Ooh, look at you.
Yeah.
I think my great-aunt, or my great-great-aunt, got an MBE for services for her charity work in Ethiopia, but she refused to come to Buckingham Palace to get it. She stayed in Ethiopia. So they sent it to Ethiopia and the ambassador gave it.
My aunt went to Buckingham Palace and did the whole function thing.
Well, she kind of said, I don't know anyone in Buckingham Palace. All my friends are in Ethiopia, so we may as well stay here and have a big party. And there's some quite nice pictures of her dancing with the British ambassador.
Ooh, my great-great-auntie got an STD once.
Sorry about that.
Keeping things classy.
I think she got it from Buckingham Palace.
Right, moving on. I have been reading Age of X, which is a X-Men comic storyline thing, which is kind of like, if anyone remembers Age of Apocalypse, it's an alternate universe thing that springs off at the same point, which is essentially, originally Age of Apocalypse was what if someone killed Charles before he could start the X-Men? Charles Xavier, that is. So yeah, and then but I'm not quite sure who died this time to cause the divergent timelines. So hopefully they'll explain that. I kind of need to go back to the beginning of the event because I missed the first few issues, annoyingly. But it's really good. It's really interesting and kind of in a point where the main X-Men books seem to have lost their way a little bit. Although Uncanny X-Force is really, really good. But the main X-Men books are all a bit weird at the minute. It's pretty good. But in contrast to that, in a really good X-Men book, I also picked up Generation Hope this week because one of my friends wanted to know what Rogue is up to, and Rogue is in that. And it was fucking awful.
Oh, dear.
It was really bad.
I can. You read so many Marvel books. And I just cannot get into them. They're impenetrable.
Yeah, DC is the same for me.
Oh, see, I would much rather have DC.
I tried reading DC. I tried reading Green Lantern. It's really bad. Oh God, it's so bad.
To be fair, because I only really read collections, they're all sort of kept in a tidy little package for me.
Oh, I'm reading War of the Green Lanterns. I keep buying it, and I can't work out why I keep buying it. I have some nagging suspicion it might become good at some point. But I think DC have kind of laid the groundwork for an event that sounds interesting enough that you want to keep buying it in case it sounds good. but it's terrible. Oh, so bad. And also, there are too many Batman books. Dear God.
They all tend to do that, though. They have a successful franchise, and they just branch it off into so many different branches. That's why I can't get into Marvel, because I don't know what's what and who's who now, and what's the real timeline, and so many alternate universes and all that shit.
Oh, yeah, but the difference is Marvel have been a little bit bad recently, but in general aren't too bad. DC currently, in main DC continuity, have, I think, 9 Batman books, which that may be too many Batman books.
Yeah, it might be. And do they split the arcs between books as well, between series?
Not normally. It only happens in events. Or as I was talking with the guy in the comic book shop yesterday, Marvel have done it with X-23 and Daken, who are kind of like the two children of Wolverine. Well, Daken is his child, and X-23 is kind of his daughter, but really a clone. Basically what they did to make people, like, everyone loves X-23, and everyone used to love Daken until they made him suck, and now to get people to read the Daken book, it's like part one is in X-23 and part two is in Daken and part three is in X-23 and part four is in Daken.
Yeah.
That's really irritating. But they don't tend to do that, no, not normally. It's only with like events they do that. Most books tend to have not entirely self-contained, but relatively self-contained storylines normally, which can be a failing when you have stuff like Wolverine appearing in God knows how many. Wolverine's on 4 or 5 teams at this point and appears in all the books. And you're like, but he's doing this and also this. He can't physically be doing both. What was fucked up before last year that I was reading? Reed Richards, the Mr. Fantastic, was in a coma in one series and doing stuff in a different series. And she's like, no, you can't. You literally can't have both storylines running at the same time.
Yeah, but then they just go, oh, it's an alternate universe. Or it's a different timeline.
No, there aren't. You say that, but Marvel doesn't really do that. Marvel has two main timelines. DC does that a lot, where DC goes, retroactive continuity all the time. We retconned the last 6 years worth of comics.
Which makes them not count anymore.
Yeah, they do that. It's really irritating. It's why I can't. It's part of the reason I don't read DC books very much, mostly because it just frustrates me. Because I'm like, you can't. You don't just get to do that. It's cheating. You can't, like, oh, we've written ourselves into a corner so it didn't happen. It's not really fair. But there was a concept from DC that I really liked, which is called Hypertime, which is kind of the idea that every story you've ever read is equally true and it's all part of the multiverse and that kind of thing. And I don't have enough time to talk about this week because I could talk about that for, like, 2 hours. So let's move on quickly. Pete, you've been playing Tiger Woods 12 at least a little bit, I understand.
I have, a little bit. Yeah, it's kind of like every other Tiger Woods game, except they try and, on the box, it kind of plays down Tiger Woods' involvement a bit.
And plays up the Masters.
Because that's
the new license they got, wasn't it? It's the first time they've had the Masters license.
Which is only, well, the whole game is built around that. It's all like the road to the Masters. And the whole intro video is them stitching together the green jacket that you get for winning the Masters.
That's cool.
And then you start the game and you start the game as Tiger Woods trying to sink the last putt to win the Masters. And then it goes, yay, you're the winner. Now fuck off back to being an amateur. And then you have to create a golfer and do all that shit.
They've managed to build a golf game that has that, like, jump back in time plot.
Yeah, pretty much.
What? It's a golf game. You play golf.
You start at the end. Yeah.
Oh, God.
But then you go to create a golfer and set up all that stuff. And then from there on, it's basically just a golf game.
You get to go back in time and sleep with loads of women.
No, you see, I think that's why they're playing down his involvement. Because it's the box is like Masters, PGA Tour, Golf, Tiger Woods. It's like, yeah, But then, and I, when I looked at the box, I thought, oh, they're trying to distance themselves from him a bit so that they don't get tarred with the same brush. But then, once you get into the game, then it makes a big deal out of Tiger again.
The courses in this is what may be really impressive. It's all like millimeter perfect courses and stuff.
It looks very impressive. Definitely. The one thing I did notice was that the caddy's pretty much useless. The caddy explains what shots you're supposed to take, and he gives you a couple of options. And the two options, he's only ever given me two or three options. And they've all basically resulted in the ball ending up within the same sort of 10, 15-yard circle. So it's like, well, they're not really options. But that might just be because I'm an amateur and I can't afford a very good caddy. Because I did only play a couple of games.
All right.
That's not very realistic, though, because a caddy just gets 10% of your earnings in real life.
Does he?
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Tiger Woods' caddy is extremely rich.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, some caddies are.
I bet he's glad that he ended up working for Tiger Woods.
Mm.
A lot of caddies are ex-golf pros, though, aren't they? Or pros that didn't quite make it.
People that couldn't make it, yeah.
So there you go, golf. It's not really very exciting. So we should probably move on.
I should have picked something more interesting off of your list of stuff.
Yeah.
Flip golf on the iPad's good.
Is it? I used to really like Let's Golf on the PSP and then on the iPhone.
Were they the people with really big heads?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now on the Sony Xperia Play, they've got Let's Golf 2.
God, I'm going to get that.
Mm.
Yeah, rush out and spend £500 on the Xperia Play just so you can play Let's Golf on another platform.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on to things that aren't golf. There was no link I could build there. Lewis, you saw a film called The American, which I've never heard of. Is it about an American?
Funnily enough, it is about golf.
Is it about golf? Oh God.
It's not. No,
it's... So it takes a little bit of research and you would have had a perfect segue there.
No, it's about... George Clooney plays an American. And he's
an American golfer?
No, he's...
He's typecast. He's always playing Americans, that lad.
Such a fucking talentless muppet. I can't work out if he's like ex-CIA or something like that, but he's basically a contract killer that was in Sweden with his girlfriend, and then he gets targeted by these people, so he basically has to then hunt down who's chasing him and why he's been ordered to kill. And then he goes from Sweden to Italy, where he's chased by the Swedish. And it's basically just about him, very lonely world, and then he's got one last job to do whilst he's in Italy, and then he says he's out, but then it turns out that he might be the target of the next sort of job, so he's trying to distance himself and leave that life behind, but it's obviously very difficult. But it's not action-packed, and there's very little dialogue in the entire film. It is just him wandering the sort of streets of, I think, Solma is the place in Italy that is, and there's stunning locations, but it's just quite isolated and quite a lonely film, so it's not one to watch if you're expecting lots of action. And the middle bit does get a little bit boring. You do sit there and think something happened, but it's one of those ones that after it ends, it sort of stays within you. You think about it afterwards and it gets better the more you think about it. It's just it's quite a good film.
All right. So overall, it's enjoyable, really.
Yeah, it's enjoyable. And like I said, it's different from obviously what with Red and other... There's shitloads in there. Redbourne, those type of films where they're all secret agents trying to find out who's after them, and it turns out that it's the organisation that's after them, that sort of thing. It's quite of a refreshing take on it, because like I said, it is just quite... quiet and quite restrained.
Sounds like just George Clooney wandering around Europe for an hour and a half.
Yeah, it does kind of sound like that.
Pretty much. That is it. There are some nice boobies in it, though.
Oh, that's good.
I'm in.
Yeah, done.
Yeah, I do like boobies. Right, I'm going to be angry now. because that's very uncommon on the podcast for me to get angry. Or possibly happens all the time.
Yeah, people don't hear you rage quit at the end of every podcast.
Okay, so new Ultimate Spider-Man. So basically, I've talked before about Death of Spider-Man, and last week Death of Spider-Man kind of happened. He's sort of dead now, maybe, I guess. Possibly dead.
Squished.
And no, I don't want to say what
put
happened.
In a glass jar with the lid I've
heard people who said they felt it was really cheap, but I actually thought it was really unusual and not what I was expecting at all. And then... And so that literally happened last week in last week's comics. On Monday this week, comics put out solicits, which are, for people who don't know, that's kind of like previews for comics that are coming in like 3-4 months. So this Monday we got the solicits for June. And June was Ultimate Spider-Man Returns. Who is behind the mask? And you're like, you can't solicit for the continuation of a character's book when you're in the middle of an event where you're promoting him dying. You can't do both.
Yeah.
That's not really being fair. You're basically being a dick if you do that.
Although, to be fair, if you didn't know that they were going to bring him back in some form.
Oh, no, I know they were going to bring him back. But I'm like, rest the book for like 6 months. Like, give it a chance.
Yeah.
At least, at the very least, don't be soliciting for his return.
Well, this is they could rest it
after he's actually dead.
They could rest it for 6 months and then bring it back in a big way, and it could be like a big event coming back.
Yeah, and I don't even get, because they're suggesting that maybe it's someone different is Spider-Man. It's not Peter Parker. I'm like, that's fine. I don't get, if you want to do that, you do that. That would be absolutely fine with me. It would be interesting, but you don't get to like be previewing what happens like after the guy is dead in the middle of him dying. That,
no,
have
a bit much.
Have at least some vague sense of timing.
Do these people also write for Coronation Street?
Yeah, exactly. Oh god,
I have comic book film related news.
Yes, what happened?
They revealed Joseph Gordon-Levitt's and Marion Cotillard's roles in the new Batman film.
Yes, what are they? What, is one of them original?
No,
or
they're
something?
Both original. So Gordon-Levitt isn't going to be Falcone's son. He's going to be a Gotham policeman that Commissioner Gordon gives a special mission to, and Marion Cotillard, Shawing, is going to be one of the board members at Wayne Enterprises who helps Bruce sort of come to terms with what happened to Rachel and start up charity work again. But there's been loads of talk that because of Levitt's new character, where he's this cop, they reckon that Bane's going to break bail, and then they're going to, like, Commissioner Gordon's going to turn around to Levitt and say, take up the Batman role, which I can't see personally because Gordon Levitt's quite a skinny, scrawny bloke.
Yeah, oh god, they're going to do Nightfall.
Yeah,
why?
That's the thought going through my head now. They did that in the comic books.
There's not enough time to... Nightfall lasted like a year and a half in comics.
I'm not sure what you're talking about.
Nightfall was the comic story where Bane broke Batman's bat.
Oh, right, yeah.
Back.
But then after that, Batman obviously couldn't be Batman, so they got somebody else to come and be Batman for a year and a half.
They got Azrael to come be it, and Azrael was fucking mental. And was like Batman if Batman killed everyone.
Yeah, if Batman really just didn't give a fuck. That was him.
yeah, that's basically Azrael. It's like, what if Batman just stabbed everyone in the face? And that was basically what happened for a year and a half. The dude went around being Batman and just killed all the criminals. Which, to be fair, probably would be a more effective way of managing Gotham's criminal population.
Yeah, but you don't get as long of a run out of comic books.
No, not really, if you just murder everyone.
Yeah. Should we bring that Joker fella back for another run? No, we can't. Batman killed him. Stabbed him in the face.
Which is why one of the reasons I think it was ambiguous at the end of The Dark Knight. Although it's unlikely he'll come back now, obviously, due to what happened afterwards. But
he's just I
think perhaps the original plan was to have him reappear at some point.
Yeah.
At least leave it open-ended enough that he could.
Well, no, it wasn't the original ending of The Dark Knight. He was supposed to die because there was a scene where he was going to be in a body bag getting in an ambulance. But because he actually died, obviously Heath Ledger actually died, out of respect, they didn't want to portray that on screen, so they just sort of didn't say one way or the other.
I didn't know that. That's interesting, if true. That's quite nice. That's quite interesting casting news, at least. Hopefully that movie will be good.
Well, of course it will.
Yeah, it'll be awesome. I'm still dubious. So it'll be at least 2.5 hours long, so... It won't be like it. They'll rush it. I reckon it'll be awesome.
They could advertise Christopher Nolan films just with like the longest film you'll see this year.
Yeah, but they don't feel that long. Dark Knight does actually. If you rewatch that,
Dark Knight does at a point where you're like, "Is this gonna? No, it's not. It's not over yet. All right, over now. No, it's a bit like Lord of the Rings. There's like 6 places that film could have ended.
Yeah, but Lord of the Rings is extreme. That, like, the uncut versions of those are like 4.5 hours long.
Yeah, Lord of the Rings is a very extreme example.
What did everybody think of A Game of Thrones? Did you see it, Chris?
No, because you didn't send me the DVD.
I can't send you the DVD. I was going to, but then I realised they have printed my name on it, and it has my serial number on it. And it comes with warnings. If this gets out anywhere, then we'll know it's you.
Oh, bugger. All right. Well, I don't have Sky, so no.
Oh.
I watched it, and I really enjoyed it.
Yeah?
I did.
When's the second episode on?
Sunday,
America, and then Monday on Sky Atlantic. Yes.
Yeah. No, I really liked it. I thought it was really well done. Like, I know you were saying it was quite slow, but I thought... Personally, it was done perfectly in order to grasp the scale of it, because obviously they've got whole, like, the title sequence points out that it's a massive full scale sort of country or sort of world. So they've got
factions,
different areas. Countries.
When I was talking about it last week on the podcast, I was sort of thinking I was trying to say that it was a little bit slow and it was maybe taking a while to pick up. Watching the second episode makes everything from the first episode make sense. It all sort of Once you've seen the second episode, you think back, you think, well, yeah, that makes sense that they did it that way.
That's what I was a bit surprised at, because most new series, they do as a double episode, don't they, to start off with, to kick things off. So I'm surprised they didn't do that. But I like the first one. And like I say, you get to learn the major players and all their sort of relevant politics and what have you. So I thought it was really good. And it did make me laugh, because obviously you said about the women don't seem to wear tops and underwear.
Yeah.
It made me laugh that the women don't wear tops and underwear unless they're having sex. It's the weirdest program. They can walk around all the time naked, all they want. The minute they actually have sex, they're all fully clothed.
Yeah. That's probably something to do with American TV censors, isn't it?
it's
probably like all those old Hollywood rules where you have to keep one foot on the floor.
But yeah, no, I liked it. And the ending surprised me. I didn't expect the ending to happen.
Yeah, I had a quick look just when it went over, because obviously I don't have Sky, so it's going to be tricky for me to see the rest of it.
Up with it. Yeah.
But I had a quick look at Wikipedia to see sort of what was happening and how much longer it had to go. Because it's like 7 books or something in the series, and it's already been commissioned for a second season.
Oh, right.
But apparently all the people that are introduced, it's quite complex in that first episode, all the people that are introduced, that's still only like half of the people that you need to get introduced to for this story arc.
Oh, right.
Apparently it does seem really complicated.
It does seem like it's going to be an epic program. And like I said, I think there are going to be episodes to come where it will be just like, it'll be like an hour worth of the Helm's Deep battle or things like that from Lord of the Rings. Just feels like it's going to have that. And those pet wolves. I want a pet wolf now. They were well sweet.
Yeah.
Aren't they also dire?
They are dire.
Yeah, they're called dire wolves and they grow really fast and they get to be massive.
But
I mean, no one wants a pet that's like the prefix is dire. That doesn't sound good.
I do.
It kind of just sounds like it would kill you at some point.
Why would you not want a giant wolf on your side?
No, see, if it was called a giant wolf, I'd be up for it. But the fact it's called dire doesn't sound so
good.
And
they're super well-trained as well.
Yeah, they are.
Also, it turns out dire wolves were real. I looked it up.
Oh.
And they were, again, they were also fucking massive.
Yeah, they were huge.
Very cool. Well, yes. I found out that portions of that TV show that are filmed sort of the when you see it and it's like woods and woodland.
Oh, it's island.
They were filmed literally like about 3 miles away from my front door.
Oh, that's amazing. That's really cool.
And the scene where they go into the woods at the beginning to, and you meet the Jawas, that was beautifully shot, I thought. That was amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was probably shot just down the road here.
Cool.
Right, moving on because we don't have enough time. Anyway, time to move on. Lewis, you have a competition because somehow you've got DVDs again.
I did. We got more DVDs. This time they're courtesy of Oscar Mike Media. So they're from Oscar Mike Media. So yeah, I've got 10 new DVDs. And actually, I think, because I didn't do it as random as I did the first lot, so I think there are more good ones than there are shit ones, so it'd be worth entering. So yeah, we'll kick that back off again. So all you need to do, I'll turn my fan off in case you can't hear it. All you need to do is tell me what film this piece of music belongs to. Easy one to kick it back off.
I'm not sure that could actually be any easier.
Well, I'm trying to get people to enter, you see. Seeing as we only had one entry, like last week or the week before, whatever it was.
That's true.
If we make it super easy, it'd be like the competitions on TV where they ask you a ridiculously easy thing. So, yeah, enter.
Yeah.
Do it. Otherwise, I will hunt you down and rip your spleen out with my bare hands.
And how do they enter, Lewis?
Oh, yes. They would write to... where would they write to?
Your email address. What's your email address, Lewis?
Oh, yes,
Lewis?
Yes.
Lewis it starts Gaston with your at... name.
Yeah. In fact, it's entirely your name.
It's lewisgaston@screendemon.com. So, yeah, if you know that piece of music... if you know the film that piece of music's from, email me the answer and your name... and then you might get picked and you might win a DVD.
You said you've got a quiz, but slightly different.
Yeah, because my computer's on its last leg, so I'm struggling to run anything, so I can't do an audio quiz as normal. Hopefully I would have had a massive clean out by next week and I can do it again. I'd do another one. But I thought, instead of an audio quiz, now you need to be honest because otherwise it could ruin it. Did any of you read a while back on Screen Demon one of the, you know, the picture quizzes I did? I do.
Yes.
I did a Whose Quote Is It Anywhere where I rewrote famous movie quotes.
Oh, I did, I think. I did read that.
Oh.
I didn't read it because I hate Screen Demon.
How dare you?
You're I don't out. Actually hate Screen Demon. It comes into my RSS feed and I normally read it.
You're out of order. You hurt me. To be fair,
although I don't ever write in, I do have a go at who the picture quizzes when I see them.
Yeah. Well, my wife does the picture quizzes and complains when they don't show up on time. She came home. Was it last week? The one didn't go up on Friday. She came home. She was like, the first thing she said when she came through the door was, what happened to the quiz this week? I'm like, what the f***? You've been at work. You're supposed to be working. Coming home hassling me. But then she bought me Portal 2 this morning, so all's forgiven.
You just need to give her Lewis's phone number. Yeah. You just ring up Lewis.
Yeah. Stop annoying me.
It's up there. What, you can't see it? Oh.
Oh.
Well, I could do it anyway. I don't know if you'd be able to remember them, Peter, or not. I could do it if you want to.
Yeah, do it anyway, and the listeners can join in.
Okay, so there's...
I probably won't remember anyway.
I think I did 25 in total, so I'll only do 10. I'll give you an example one. So, for example, I turned No One Puts Baby in a Corner into Not a Single Person Places Infant Where Two Converging Lines or Surfaces Meet.
Makes sense.
Okay, yeah. So you have to work out...
Okay, are we writing this down like normal or?
I don't know. First person to shout it out, shall we say?
All right, yeah, sure. So seems fine to me.
Okay, I have just wasted a page by writing the numbers 1 to 10 down the side. I'll save that page for next week, just in case there's any environmentalists listening.
I do all mine on computer, so I don't use any paper.
I carved mine into a tree.
And then burnt the tree.
And then set fire to a couple of tyres just to make sure. Okay, yeah, so let's go. Okay, number one. I do so very much adore the activity of the olfactory nerves following the release of incendiary devices at the start of a day.
Yeah, I know what that is.
Something about smelling.
Yeah.
What is it then, Peter? You get the point.
It's from Apocalypse Now. I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
Oh, yes, yeah. Of course. Yeah.
1-0. number two. It would appear our nautical vessel needs to increase in size.
We're going to need a bigger boat.
Yeah.
Yes.
Jules.
1-0. Number three. Please verbally greet my petite pal.
Yeah, that's Say Hello to My Little Friend from Scarface.
Scarface.
Yeah.
I've forgotten already.
Number four.
I believe I require velocity.
I feel the need for speed.
Yeah.
Yes. Number five, proceed, complete my 24 hours.
Go ahead, make my day.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Number six, I do so hope that the invisible power accompanies you.
May the force be with you.
Yes.
Oh, dear.
Rapidly put one foot in front of the other, wooded area. Rapidly put one foot in front of the other.
Run, Forrest, run.
Yes. what number are we on? Number
Seven.
It isn't possible for two or more to exist.
Oh, there can be only one.
Yes.
From Highlander.
Yeah.
Number eight. You are warned not to overflap.
It's terrible when that happens.
You are warned not to overlap the continuous flows.
No idea.
No.
Don't cross the streams.
Oh, of course.
Number nine, I am very fond of illumination device.
Very fond of illumination device. Lamp.
I love lamp.
Yes.
I think I just got to that first.
I think Chris probably gets that.
I think Peter's won it, though.
Peter is ahead. So the last one. Unfamiliar females resting in small bodies of water handing out sharp weaponry is an insufficient way of determining a leadership.
Fuck. That's really long as well and complicated.
Yeah.
Do you want me to read it again?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unfamiliar females resting in small bodies of water handing out sharp weaponry is an insufficient way of determining a lead... I can't say that word. Determining a leadership.
Oh, it's something to do with... Well, it sounds like it's something to do with the Lady in the Lake and King Arthur and all that stuff. But I've no idea what it could be from.
You're onto something.
I've got no idea. No. Random women handing out swords is no way to determine a kingship.
No, nearly. It's from Monty Python and the Holy Grail, and it's strange women sitting in ponds distributing swords as no basis for a government.
Oh, I was close.
Peter wins.
Peter wins again. Hooray.
To be fair, though, I did read those a couple of months ago. So my memory isn't quite as shit as I thought it was.
Hooray. Okay. Time for questions. Oh, I've got one in the email. I don't want to forget it because someone sent it like an hour after we finished recording last week's podcast. I promised I'd read it out.
Eager?
Yeah. Well, he was going to send it for last week, but he forgot.
Yeah. Forgetful.
Have we got a question from Daywalker Liam this week?
Probably. It'd be fucking creepy as well.
does it involve
it's
some
the
sort
of my
swing?
Week when he sends us a question.
Come on, Gmail. I don't know, mate. This is from AG Too Many Numbers. He says,
"Who is the new community manager at the Sixth Axis?" By the way, everyone
is he? Did he get promoted?
Yeah,
I didn't pay attention. Was there a post that said that?
No, we didn't put a post up. It's the community team just, there was too much organisation needed and it needed to be streamed through one or two people. So Adam, who is AG Too Many Numbers, he is the new community manager, and Teflon, who his real name is Stefan, believe it or not, he is the assistant community manager.
I can never remember his real name, Stefan. I don't know why.
Yeah. And he's got a very strange email address.
Probably because it doesn't stick.
Yeah. It might be worth reading out. It might be worth giving. AG2 Numbers is, as he's actually important now. He's actually AG2297 for anyone who wants to get in contact with him.
Well, I wouldn't say it was important.
Which, as you can agree, is too many numbers.
It is too many numbers. But just in case anyone actually needs to contact, like, someone in charge of community stuff.
Yeah.
He says, who do you think is the most impressive game developer out of the following, to narrow it down, currently working on consoles, and why? Crytek, Guerrilla Games, Naughty Dog, or DICE?
Naughty Dog for me.
Probably Naughty Dog on console games.
Yeah, probably.
Crytek on PC.
Yeah, Crytek on PC, but Naughty Dog on console.
I would say probably Naughty Dog for console games at the minute, but, and probably Crytek at the minute for PC games, but a big caveat to that is that Battlefield 3, which is made by DICE, looks amazing. It looks like better than anything that Crytek are doing. So maybe in 6 months' time when that's out, we'll revise that.
If Battlefield 3 looks that good on the console, it will beat Naughty Dog,
yeah,
I think.
But there's not much chance of that, is there?
No, because the rumours I've heard are the PC they're running it on to get it to look like that costs about $5,000.
I'll take two. We'll have a LAN party.
His second question is... There's two questions, cheeky fuck.
Two questions. See, a sniff of power and it's gone to his head already.
Which game do you think is more likely to earn Game of the Year out of Uncharted 3 and Battlefield 3? I don't fucking know. I haven't played them yet.
I think it depends, because what got Game of the Year last year? It was Call of Duty, wasn't it?
Our Game of the Year, I don't... Well, what did we give it to? I don't remember. It was fucking stressful.
Oh, not
our Game of the Year overall was Heavy Rain.
Yeah.
See, part of me thinks...
But Sick Axis is quite odd that way.
Yeah, and you look at the broader picture, whereas I think most other awards will be given to Battlefield 3 because it's... multi-platform and a first-person shooter.
Yeah. I think Battlefield 3 will run into problems because it will be compared so much to Call of Duty.
That's true.
When it's compared to a game which is bound to be pretty good anyway and extremely popular, you've got sort of a higher bar to compare it to. There's nothing else really that's like Uncharted.
No,
that's true.
So I think if they manage to make the steps forward the way they did from Uncharted, from Drake's Fortune to Among Thieves, if they make that same leap forward into the third one, then it's going to be amazing and there's not going to be anything else that's similar.
Unless Tomb Raider is really, really good.
Yeah, that's possible, I suppose.
That's not that likely, though. I'm surprised you remember who won. All I remember of Game of the Year is me and you not sleeping very much.
Yeah, for about 2 weeks before Christmas.
Both of us just being really stressed for a fortnight.
Yeah. Those emails at 2 o'clock in the morning when we go, what the fuck's happening? Just got like a dozen emails from Chris going, look, man, calm down.
just lots of emails from you going, I don't know if the maths is right.
Yeah.
Just lots. And just a massive spreadsheet.
Yeah. That was...
Oh, God. And the voting for the top 100.
Yeah.
That spreadsheet was fucking huge.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to have to do it all over again.
If you think picking 100 games is bad, there were about 300 games on that spreadsheet to pick from. It was really difficult.
I still don't know how Lee came up with all those games.
I don't know where he gets them from.
No, that was some kind of achievement to be able to list them all.
Some kind of fucking magician. Okay, right. We had two questions about PSN that I saw, but only one of them seems to be here in my feed. In light of the PSN downtime, should we all go and get some fresh air or tear each other's faces off?
Tear each other's faces off. Always tear each other's faces off.
Yeah, but do it outside so you get a bit of fresh air too.
That's also true. Good thinking, Peter.
That's true.
To be fair, even if the PSN isn't down, just tear people's faces off. makes you feel better. It's therapeutic. It gets rid of the whole image conscious social
doing them thing. A favour, really.
You are.
Here we go. Here's the other thing. And this ties into my answer to that question, which I'll give in a second, which was, is the PSN down... by the way, that question was from Danley24, first one. It's from Teflon. Is the PSN downtime actually Skynet coming online as predicted by the Sarah Connor Chronicles? I say no. I like to imagine that PSN being down is like in Jurassic Park.
Dennis Nedry.
Yeah, it's just...
Crafty little bastard.
Yeah, and there's just a computer in Sony headquarters going... No, 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 and just wagging its figure at them.
You have to say the magic word.
Exactly, it's brilliant. It's exactly like that.
Uh-oh, that means there's going to be loads of robots getting free.
But anyway, as it's like Jurassic Park, obviously, then my answer to Danley 24 questions is, we won't need to tear each other's faces off because raptors will do it for us.
Don't go into the long grass.
Yeah, don't go in, fucking clever girl. Peter, did you watch Series 5 for Doctor Who? I'm going to guess no.
No? Where would I do this?
I don't know. I thought we decided you were going to watch the next... Oh, no,
yeah, I did. Not. Last week when I was talking to Josh and Chris and they were just completely overwhelming me with Doctor Who gimpiness, I conceded that I would watch some Doctor Who and I would reserve judgment until then. But then, as soon as we stopped recording, I thought, right, I suppose I better look for some Doctor Who then. And then I thought, well, I'm not actually going to buy the fucking thing. I'm not buying a box set. So where do I get Doctor Who?
You can rent it.
Rent?
It's on iPlayer. It's the BBC Free just seems to share it on an infinite loop.
So, okay, I will look on iPlayer.
And you'll have to put up with more Doctor Who gimpiness next week because it starts again on Saturday.
Yeah, I'll probably get Blair to come on and talk about it.
Woo.
Oh, I'm not good enough now.
Talking about things that retcon like and have alternate timelines. Doctor Who, at the end of every series.
Shh, ignore that. Ryan Martin, 1991, says, not a question at all, but tell Peter he is a tool for not liking Serenity, so I have done that, as requested.
Okay, I actually
Peter
did like Serenity.
Like, I was going to say.
Peter does like Serenity, it was just a lie.
Yeah. I never watched Firefly, but I did see Serenity, and I liked Serenity.
Yeah, I'll send you my copy of Firefly, and then you just post it back once you're done.
Yeah. Cool. Basically, if you put Summer Glau in it, I'll watch it.
She's not in it.
Someone says no more Space Jam. That's yeah, no, we're not talking about Space Jam.
But what will we spread on our space toast?
Oh, God.
Space Marmite.
Bacon Sarnie 50... BaconSigny59 says, if you had the opportunity to punch a whale, would you?
No.
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 It depends what type of whale.
But I would kick shit out of a dolphin.
No, you're out of order.
Smug looking little bastards.
I'd punch a shark. Sharks are dicks.
No, leave sharks alone. Sharks are awesome.
Sharks are dicks.
See, I watched Blue Planet, and the only time I would think about watching, punching a killer whale, fuck's sake. Only time I think about punching a whale would be a killer whale when it's picking on a calf whale and it's going to eat it. That's what I'd do.
Dale Kaliam says...
Pervert.
Yeah, he is. This isn't perverted for once. It's really odd.
Yeah, he was thinking perverted things.
Which comic character would win an all-out free-for-all? Not Superman, though. That's just boring. I've been informed I can't call Superman dumb. Because I spent like an hour calling him dumb on Twitter last night, and my friends might murder me.
Superman's dumb and boring.
I didn't say Superman was dumb.
Deadpool would win because we all know the Merc without a mouth is rock solid.
I think probably the Sentry, because it took basically every Marvel superhero to bring him down. And even then, they had to drop an aircraft carrier on him. And that didn't kill him. It just slowed him down enough to throw him into the sun.
Is the Sentry one of those weird things from X-Men?
No, he's not.
What about Apocalypse from X-Men?
Apocalypse is pretty badass, but he got killed like 4 times now.
Yeah,
they grow into like the size of a universe and crush the planet.
Yeah, but then they always manage to find a way to kill him. It's not ruined. And then he was a kid and they shot him in the head.
What about MODOK?
MODOK is shit.
MODOK is great.
All of MODOK's plans end in like 10 minutes.
Yeah, but he's designed only for killing, Chris.
Well, yeah, but he's not very good
at it. Is it mental organism?
Something like that, designed only for killing.
Mental organism designed only for killing.
I know, but he's not very good at killing. It's the problem.
But that's what he's designed for.
I know, but it's a bad design.
Only for.
Poor guy. He's got no purpose. He's so bad at it. He's just got no purpose in life. Dale Kaleem also says to remind you about Rap Battle, which I presume you haven't actually written any rap lyrics at all.
No, I haven't actually written a rap lyric.
As with most things on this podcast, it is a lie.
Yeah.
I have the script to Inception in front of me. I could always rap that.
Please don't. M6-1726B.
Okay.
That's the bloke we said was on bail last week.
Are we sure? Isn't he some kind of, like, isn't that a star classification or something? With the Fukushima plant and the Virgin Meltdown, which I don't think it actually is, which real life superheroes do you want? I'm pretty sure that's not what happens when nuclear reactors melt down.
What was his username?
M6-1726B.
M6-1726B.
Are you actually checking if it's a star?
I'm Googling it because I need to know what... Like, he's not some sort of crazy mental organism designed only for killing. Come to get us.
What's that? Yeah, exactly.
Oh my god. He's a 17-inch touchscreen medical infotainment system.
Oh, brilliant.
Okay.
Anyway, so getting back to his question, I'm not sure that when nuclear reactors melt down that you get superheroes. I think they just kind of evacuate the area. And anyone exposed to radiation dies.
Yeah.
It's not as interesting as
not. It's not as glamorous as they make out in the films, is it?
No. I'm pretty sure you just die of radiation poisoning.
Pretty much. I read somewhere the other week that there will be more people outside of Japan that die from complications from the iodine medicine to try and prevent radiation poisoning than there will be inside Japan that die of radiation poisoning.
Yeah, I know. It's the media have kind of blown it out of all proportion. It was partly the government's fault by not giving the correct information to try and hold back panic, and now everyone thinks it's far worse than it actually is.
Yeah. But I think, I mean, obviously it's pretty bad.
Oh, it's fairly bad.
I think they're on top of it as much as they can be.
I mean, obviously, yeah, it is pretty bad at the plant, but it's not going to go Chernobyl on anyone because it was actually...
They've already raised it to Chernobyl level, haven't they?
Is it?
It's already raised a few days ago. It got raised to level 7, the worst it could be.
I think,
but it's not as catastrophic as Chernobyl because it wasn't an instant release.
No, and it's actually designed properly, and they kind of followed safety procedures and shit.
Yeah,
like
and
that.
I mean, nobody but the Japanese could have been that quick on it, on acting. Yeah. You know, it's,
no, exactly.
They're on top of it, nice and quick, and they'll. I wouldn't trust anybody else in the world to do it better than the Japanese would do it.
No,
they're
exactly.
prepared for this sort of thing.
No. And to be fair, people saying because of this nuclear power is not safe. A, this was designed 40 years ago. And
yeah.
B, to be fair, it's almost dealt with one of the worst natural disasters ever. Like,
yeah.
It almost held out against it. And it was only designed for something orders of magnitude lower than the actual earthquake. And it still nearly survived. If it hadn't been for the tidal wave, it would have survived. So, I'm not really sure that's a counter-argument for nuclear. There are lots of other counter-arguments, but I'm not sure this is really one of them.
Yeah, I think it's just there's a general knee-jerk reaction.
Yeah. And also,
it'll take a while for people to get over, and then things will just go back to normal.
Also, in most of the world, we don't tend to have earthquakes all that often.
No, that was the funniest thing. Like, the week after it happened, Germany suspended their nuclear power proposals. Like, Germany, when was the last earthquake you had in Germany? How many tidal waves do you get?
Exactly. Oh, God. That's annoying and so stupid. But fear does that to people.
Yeah.
And final question, I believe. Audio Worm says, on the Spinal Tap scale, how awesome is Portal 2?
I would say at the moment Portal 2 is all the way up to 11.
Well, I have to abide by Al, who says it's a 9. But also on the Spinal Tap scale, it would be less than a 9 because the Spinal Tap scale goes to 11.
Oh.
So I guess
I've looked at the trailers, I'd probably say, what, 4?
Ooh. Yeah. Yes. Okay, that is a podcast done.
Can I wrap Inception now?
You're quick.
You what, sorry?
If you're quick.
I don't want to do it now, if there's a time restraint on me.
All right, you can wrap Inception for as long as
Inception's quite a long film.
you can wrap...
He's gonna do the whole thing.
You can wrap, like, the first scene of Inception.
I don't want to do it now. There's too much pressure on me.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry I pressed you that way. Anyway, this has been episode 15 of the Oscar Mike Media Podcast. I have been your host, Chris Lipscomb. You can get me pretty much anywhere you would like to as Halb Pro. You can find Peter over everywhere as Colossal Blue, and you can find Lewis everywhere pretty much as Lewis Gaston. I don't like this. No one's interrupted me.
Basically because Lewis has to go out in about 20 minutes and yeah. Because I'm fearful that I might need to be sitting on the toilet again.
More of the crowd join in, pulling at Ariadne, holding her arms open. Cobb pulls people off. The crowd pushes him away. Cobb sees someone walking purposely through the crowd towards the helpless Ariadne as it is Marl. She approaches with even strides. Ariadne stares at her, uneasy. Wake me up, Cobb! As Mal walks, she pulls out a large knife. Mal, no!
I'm not sure this is really rapping, more just saying it fast.
Fuck's sake. I've won awards for my rapping.
No one laid down a fat beat for you. It just didn't work. Okay.
Like that.
Is this the bit where I end it? I'm confused. It doesn't normally go this well.
He's not used to ending a podcast with an ending. He's used to just rage quitting halfway through.
I'm done. Bye. The thing is, although I do record quite a lot of after like the ending bit. None of you actually hear. There is a point where you think I rage quit at the end of the podcast. You want to hear the end of the Skype call. The end of the Skype call is literally me just killing the Skype call and just turning my computer off before they can stop
that's
me.
Because it's normally you going, I have to go now because I've got pizza.
Yes, pizza. And also because, to be fair, it's normally me going, could you fulfill these very simple requests? No. No, we can't do that.
Not doing what you asked me.
Okay, thank you, everyone.
I'm not conforming to your authoritarian grip.
Thank you for listening to episode 15 of the Oscar Mike.
Under the heel of a jackboot on this podcast.
Yeah. Well, you can't be under the heel of a jackboot if I don't wear shoes.
Under the sole of a hippie. That's what I was going to say.
Yeah. Thank you for listening to episode 15 of the Oscar Mike Media Podcast.
What episode was it?
Episode 15.
Really?
Yes, it was.
Jeez.
No, it's 15.
You sure? You might want to check that.
I am absolutely 100% sure. Thank you all for listening, and we will be back next week. Say goodbye, everyone.
Yeah, bye, everyone.
Lewis?
No.
No.
He's probably already rage quit.
Well.
What?
Oh, I fucking hate you.
What did you say?
I said say goodbye.
Oh, no.
I got told last week that me sniffing along to the podcast, it sounded like I was throwing back lines of coke.
You mean you weren't? That's how I get through these.
Yeah. Just because I had a bit of a sniffle.
Jealous of my coke habit.
It's a good job jacking up into your veins doesn't make a sound.
Oh, God.
I'm literally, like, all my veins have collapsed. I'm using the shaft as my knob now.
Let no one ever say you're not classy, Lewis.
I am class. I'm class, but some class.